Welcome to the May 10th, 2009 morning worship service of College Park Baptist Church. Today's parent-child dedication message is by the Reverend Raymond Smith and is entitled Perfected Love. If you are in Winston-Salem, please join us for worship and fellowship at 1701 Polo Road. You can find out more about our church at www.collegeparkbaptist.org. And now for our worship service.
Good morning.
Short on sound.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to College Park. It's good to see you this morning. And happy Mother's Day to all of you mothers who are with us. We've got a packed house, and I'm sure there are many. So happy Mother's Day to all of you. Raymond will have a little bit more on that coming shortly. Jeff Allen is not here, who usually stands up here by the grace of God, is not here this morning because his uncle passed away this morning in the Raleigh area. So this was unexpected. So Jeff and Jennifer have headed down there to be with their family. This is Jeff's mother's brother. So please keep Jeff and Jennifer and Miss Allen and the rest of their family in your prayers. We'll keep you posted this week on arrangements for Jeff's uncle, which will all be in the Garner area. If Jeff were here, he would want me to make sure to mention right off the bat that the pew pads are located on the end of the aisle. Please complete the pew pad, fill it out, pass it down to your neighbor. You can do it now or you can do it later. That's fine, but we'd love to have a record of your attendance. And thank you for doing that. Just a couple of brief announcements before we head into worship. First, on the schedule for this week and in the inside fold of your order of worship, you'll see the list of upcoming events, and I won't read all of them, but specific to this week, first of all, there will be no evening activities today. I hope all of you have some good family time and a good restful and relaxing Sunday evening. Regular schedule this week, including Wednesday night. Jeff wanted me also to make an announcement about Children's Camp, which is not this week, but next week, I think Friday through Sunday, May the 22nd through the 24th. And it's at Camp Canuga. I've never been to Camp Canuga, but it sounds like a lot of fun. And if you would like for your child to go, the deadline to sign up is this Wednesday to sign up and have your money. I believe it's $100 into Jeff. And if you need more information about that, I think there's some information here in the order of worship. If you need any more information about that, contact Jeff or Joan tomorrow in the church office. I'd like to recognize Barbie for an announcement.
College Park does an annual mission trip to the hills of Kentucky, where we build a small house for a family. We call this project Mountain Outreach. Those of you who have been here several years are very familiar with it. Those of you who are visitors or who are new, you need to get on board with this project. It is one project we do where every church member, every visitor, every friend of a church member, and everyone who has ever known anyone who went to College Park can participate. We collect furniture to take to the family. That is ongoing. So if you have an old couch or a bed or chair, you can donate that. We collect money. Our goal this year is $28,000 for the actual construction cost of the house. We collect food because we do feed ourselves while we're up there. And we have some great cooks in this church who gives us cookies, cakes, turkey breasts, ham, tomatoes, fresh garden tomatoes, things like that. So we collect food. But we also collect people who would like to go. If you want to go to Mountain Outreach, the sign-up sheet will be in the hallway outside Smith Hall soon, and there's some information there now. We would love for you to go with us. We'll be going on June the 28th, which is a Sunday. We drive up there. We will work on this house Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. On Friday, we dedicate the house, and believe it or not, it's completely finished. It's furnished. It's painted inside and out. We hang curtains at the windows, and the family is living in their house by Friday morning. We'll take anyone who wants to go. And in case you're worried, Roger Jones usually makes these announcements, but he asked me to make the announcements this year, but I'm not in charge of building the house. So I will not tell you what to do. except when Roger tells me to tell you what to do. And then those of you who are familiar with me know that I don't have any problem with that. So we look forward to your signing up for Mountain Outreach. We look forward to your donating money. We look forward to your donating furniture. And we would like for you to participate in this project. Thank you.
Thank you, Barbie. Taylor Jones, you're up.
Good morning. I'm up here to talk to you about the building fund. This is money that is going to go to the new building that we're trying to build over here. And if you would like to, please put some money in here this morning. If everybody puts a little bit of something in here, then it'll add up. If you could give up a soda or a night out to eat this week, just put it in here instead, and that'll be good. So we'll build the building over here. Thank you.
Thanks, TJ. I'd like to say a special word of welcome to our visitors. Our ushers are going to go move up the aisles, and if you're visiting with us, if you would just raise your hand just high enough for them to see you. We'd like to give you some information about College Park, including a letter from Raymond, our most recent highlights, and some other information. That includes you, Mom. Most importantly, visitors, thank you for being here this morning. It's great to have you. I see a lot of familiar faces, but a lot of new faces as well. We appreciate you taking this Mother's Day to be with us at College Park. We hope that you enjoyed the time here, but most importantly, we hope you find our worship meaningful. And on that note, as we transition into worship, let us prepare our hearts and minds to give our energy and thoughts and praise to God for all the blessings that He has in store. Let us return His gifts and His blessings in worship today.
Lord, how good it is to be in this place this morning. Lord, to be with Your people. Lord, to be able to gather together and to express together our love and our worship of You. Lord, as we gather, we know that You are here with us. And so, Lord, I ask this morning that You would inspire our thoughts. Lord, that You would remind us of the many, many blessings that You've given us. Lord, free us to thank You for those blessings. Lord, remind us this morning of who You are. Lord, of Your goodness, Your everlasting perfect love. Lord, remind us that You are beyond what we can even imagine. And Lord, inspire us to give You our praise. And Lord, as we gather together, Lord, and recognize the gift of children that You've given us and the blessing of mothers and parents and adults who love us so deeply. Lord, help us to remember that that love comes first from You. And so, Lord, help us this morning to remember to offer You our thankfulness. And Lord, as we enter this time of worship, let our thoughts and our minds, our hearts, our spirits be focused on You. And let this service to be to Your honor and to Your glory. Because we love You and You are incredible. We offer ourselves to You. In Jesus' name, amen.
want to ask Carson and his mom and dad, and Hampton and his mom and dad, come on up. This is Mother's Day, and it has been our tradition here at College Park to have what we call parent-child dedication. Most of you refer to it simply as Baby Day, and that's okay, because we know that it's a time where Carson and Hampton are going to steal the show, and that's all right. I want to offer up two words of scripture that I think are relevant today as we think about the gift of children from Psalm 127. It says, sons are a heritage from the Lord, children a reward from Him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are sons born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their enemies in the gate. And then a passage that is familiar, I think, to all of us. It comes from Mark chapter 10. People were bringing little children to Jesus to have Him touch them, but the disciples rebuked them. And when Jesus saw this, He was indignant. And He said to them, let the little children come to Me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. And He took the children in His arms, and He put His hands on them, and He blessed them. That's right, buddy. It sure did. We want to give you a chance to covenant together. You all have your covenant with you. Okay. In your order of service, there is a covenant of dedication I want to invite you to be a part of. We are here today to present these children to the church and to consecrate them to God. Who brings these children for this holy purpose? What do we affirm about these children?
We affirm that each one is a made unto God, and is a child of God by creation, that each is loved and will be included in the experiences of this congregation, and that they are God's gifts to us.
As these infants grow into childhood, what will we tell them about their heritage?
Tell them about God, who created the world, about Abraham and Sarah, the founders of our faith, about Moses, who led our ancestors out of bondage, about Ruth's example of faithfulness, and about the prophets who spoke courageously for God against the superficial values of their day. We will tell them about Jesus the Christ, in whom salvation is offered, about the woman at the well who experienced God's healing grace, about the apostles who grew beyond comfort and familiarity as they sought to follow Jesus, and about the worship and mission of the church.
What will we hope for in these children? Do you, as the parents of these children, assume your primary responsibility for keeping them in touch with such hopes and expectations? Yes. And do you, the congregation, pledge to work toward creating a nurturing Christian environment for these children?
Yes, we do. They belong to us.
Then may God be with us.
And help us.
Want to present to you, Carson. Buddy, I know you'll be thrilled, but here's a Bible as well as a certificate, so you can remember this day. Okay, buddy? All right. And for Hampton, I'm not sure you can hold this yet, but Mommy will help you, and she'll remind you of this day. All right. Very good. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, we thank You for the chance to be together as Your people and to affirm the responsibility that You've given us to train up a child in the way that it should go. Father, we take that responsibility very seriously, but we also take it with a great deal of joy, because we know what a joy it is to experience all the fun times that a child will experience. And Father, to see them grow physically, spiritually, emotionally. Father, we pray for these parents. We pray that as they continue to nurture their child, that that you would give them your strength, your courage, and your wisdom. Father, we pray that as a congregation, we would be the type of body that will lift them up in prayer regularly, but that will also be there to give physical help and spiritual encouragement. Father, we pray that they would indeed, as your son did, grow in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. For it's in the precious name of our Savior we pray. Amen. Thank you. I want to invite the children, if they would, come down now for children's time and meet me right there. Well, now you have to leave room for me, though. Okay, here we go. Here we go. Let me slide right in here. Mr. Jeff could not be here today. He had a death in the family, and so I hope that you all will pray for him and his family this week. Will you do that? Yeah. Okay. I know he would appreciate that. I know he'll feel the effects of those prayers. But he couldn't be with you, and so we talked about some of the things that we wanted to talk about this morning. And this is Mother's Day, right? Have all of you wished Mom a happy Mother's Day? Okay, well, good. Did you give her a gift?
Yes.
What kind of... A rock. Okay, very good. What else did you give her? You could be in the Charlie Brown, the thing. I got a rock. Okay, what did you give her? You drew her a picture. That's fantastic. What did you give Mom? Well, that's fantastic. What other things? What other things do you give Mom? Yes. Oh, now, who's we now, Christian? We made these.
We made these lollies out of our hands, and we twisted them up with our pencils and made them look like flowers.
Well, fantastic. So a flower, you kind of gave her a flower. Well, that's really neat. Yes, ma'am. What did you give? Keychain? Yeah, buddy, what did you give Mom?
I gave my mom a pen that I made and I used
for. So you made that for her? You know, the homemade gifts, I'm here to tell you, gang, the homemade gifts are the best. They really are. You may not think it at the time. What did you give Mama? A bracelet. Yeah. What did you give Mom?
I made a bracelet.
A bracelet? Sam?
I made a bracelet.
Okay. Well, good. Those are all great gifts. They're good gifts. And as I was thinking about Mom and what kind of gifts that she gives us, you know, moms, whenever you're hungry and you say to Mom, I'm really hungry, what is one of the best gifts she could give you? Maybe she could give you a flower.
No.
Well, a flower is a good gift, right?
You can't eat a flower even if it has feathers on it like yours.
Well, but if you were a groundhog, though, you could eat the flower, right? But you're not a groundhog, are you? So if Mom wants to give you what you need, she doesn't give you a flower when you ask for something to eat, right? No, she doesn't give you a flower. Okay. Now, if Mama wants to give you something that you really need when you're hungry, maybe she would give you a bag of Fun Dip and a Mountain Dew and some candy bars. Yeah! Yeah! No. See, as cool of a gift as this is, it's not what you need. It's what you want. But it's not what you need, David. It's not what you need, okay? Now, here's really kind of what you need. I hate to break it to you. Cheese sandwich, no mayonnaise, because mayonnaise is slime. You do not need that, okay? Cheese sandwich. Okay, we'll splurge on the chips. Okay, we'll do the chip thing. How about some whole grain crackers with real peanut butter? The jury... Jury's kind of out on that. And some popcorn. Does that sound good? Okay. All right. That's what you need, right? Mom gives you what you need when you ask for something to eat. And in the same way, she's following the example of God. Because when we ask God for something, He gives us what we need instead of what we want usually, right? And that's because He's wise. He knows what we need. And mamas are kind of like that too. Even when we disagree, they usually know what's best and they give us what we need, right? Okay, let's pray and thank God for good mamas, okay? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for these children. We thank you for good mamas because they do give us what we need, and we thank you for that. And we thank you for the wisdom and the love and the nurture and care that our mothers give us. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. And before you go to your seat, let me tell you, some of you I think are going to help with this, but for all of our ladies, as you leave today, we're going to have children and youth that are at the exits, and they're going to give you a gift. It may not be what you expect, but it's definitely something you will appreciate and something that you need. Okay? Y'all go back to your seat. You did a great job. Thank you.
Join me in prayer. Dear Lord, examples of your love and your grace are all around us, and we thank you. On this Mother's Day that we take a special time each year in May to really pay a little closer attention to the way that you've blessed us through our mothers, Lord, we thank you for our mothers. Thank you for using our mothers to give all of us, because all of us are children, to give all of us a glimpse of the power and the unfailing nature of your love. for all of us who are children, Lord, we thank you for the way that you have loved us through our mothers and given us mothers who took care of us from day one, who loved us on days that we made them proud, but also loved us on days that we caused them pain. Lord, for all the many ways in all the days of our lives that you have used our mothers to bless us and bless others, thank you. And Lord, because we are all children, the lesson that Raymond shared is true for us no matter how old we are. And when we think about our mothers and we think about the basics, what we need, that so often, Lord, what we need is to get back to the basics with you. You have promised us your love. You have promised us your presence. Help us to count on that. And no matter how old we are, no matter whether we have our mothers to talk to in person or they've gone on to be with you and we can only remember them and honor them and think about the advice that they may have given us, Lord, help us to have the strength and the courage and the wisdom to get back to basics today and tomorrow and the things that we're dealing with, to count on your presence, to go to you in prayer, to seek to live in a way that shows that we are children of God, to seek to live in a way that honors our mothers and honors the gift of our mothers that you blessed us with. Lord, so many among us are going through so many different things, good and bad, simple and complicated. Today and tomorrow and all this week, Lord, be with us. Help us to put our trust in you and help us not to worry about anything, but to bring our prayers and petitions to you so that your peace, which transcends all understanding, will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Let us pray. Dear Lord, our God, we thank you for the honor of gathering here in your presence today. We ask that this offering for the the Mother's Day offering, that you would use it to bless somebody, to show Christ's love through this offering. For all the gifts that we bring today, we ask that you would perform miracles that we can't even imagine. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
One of my favorite movies of all time is a movie called The Princess Bride. And I heard some amens. Yeah, heard some amens. It is a wonderful movie, and for those couples that meet with me for premarital counseling, I will not perform the ceremony until they have seen The Princess Bride together. It's not quite that bad, but it's a wonderful movie. It's set in the days, it's kind of a satire, if you will, on romantic adventure type movies, and it's set in the day when knights and fair maidens roamed the earth, and when chivalry was a way of life, and when love, well, love was the highest of all pursuits. It's a wonderful movie, and it has many notable quotes within the movie. One of those comes from the hero of the story, Wesley, when he looks at Buttercup and says, "Death cannot stop true love. All it can do is delay it for a while." And Buttercup says, "I will never doubt again." And Wesley says, "There will never be a need." Not sure where all that went, but you have to see the movie. Later on in scene 15, as they're gathered there for what is obviously a wedding, the clergyman at one point in the ceremony goes, "Then wav, twuwav, will follow you forever." And what is true love? Well, they go on to talk about it a little bit, but from a Christian's perspective, what is true love? What is perfected love? This morning, we're going to look at a text from 1 John that calls us to love God and to love each other in what John calls perfected love. I want to invite you to take your Bible, and if for some reason you don't have your Bible with you, there should be a pew Bible close by there. I want to invite you to turn with me to 1 John chapter 4. And I'll begin in verse 7 and be reading to the end of chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, beginning in verse 7. "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. We know that we live in him and he in us because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. And in this way, love is made complete among us so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment, because in this world we are like him. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, 'I love God,' yet hates his brother, he's a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And he has given us this command: whoever loves God must also love his brother." John, as he writes this, I picked up on two words. One is very obvious: love. But the other one was fear. And as you think about religion, not Christianity, as you think about religions, those two words kind of keep coming back to the surface: love and fear. Pagan religions are founded on the fear of their gods. Christianity's substance is love. And there's four possibilities, I think. And I think it's John writes this. He's presenting kind of this four possibilities of a mixture of fear and love. The first is the fact that there are those who neither fear nor love. These are hardened sinners. They have no love for God, nor do they fear Him. The second category of people maybe are those who fear without love. Now, fear can be used to lead a person to the saving knowledge of Jesus. But here's the downside of that. Psychologists tell us that how a person comes to know God is how he will tend to relate to God. So in other words, if you're driven to God out of fear, then there's a danger that as you develop your relationship with God, that it will be a relationship based on fear, kind of a cosmic cop, that God is just going to squash you like a bug the first time you mess up. And the motivation is about fear, and purely about fear. Now, I grew up in the mountains, there's fire and brimstone preachers that'll tell you that fear is the best way to get people to come to Jesus. And so they take great pride in literally scaring the hell out of people, because they see that as the best motivation. I would argue with them a little bit. As a matter of fact, I have over the years. But the point is this. If they come to a knowledge of God, if you came to a knowledge of God through fear, you need to grow beyond that. You need to understand how much He loves you. And that brings me kind of the third category of those people that love and fear kind of cycles into the relationship. And a majority of professing Christians, I think, kind of fall in this category. You may have come to a knowledge of Jesus Christ through love, but you also are motivated through fear. You keep God's commandments out of fear. And you've blocked out that part where Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And the fourth category are those who love without fear. And John calls this perfect love. It's perfect in the sense of being made whole. It's perfect in the sense that it's not static. It hasn't stopped growing. It's dynamic. It continues to grow. Your relationship continues to grow, and it's alive with virtue. And John would argue that it's filled with joy. That is perfected love. I would also say that from this passage, we can glean three things, at least three things, that perfected love does. The first one he describes for us in verses 13 and 14. And that is, perfected love is God's gift to us. Verse 13, we know that we live in Him and He in us because He has given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. He sent His Son. It's a gift. You see, we don't know love or how to love except as God has shown us. It's impossible. You could wrap your whole testimony about God in this truth. You know, it's the most startling fact of the present age, and it's the most profound hope of the future. And here it is. God is love, and God loves us. That kind of unconditional love, that kind of love that loves you even on the days when you mess up, as Jason prayed, and loves you on the days when you're doing well and behaving well as a child, it's demonstrated for us in our mothers. That kind of unselfish, that kind of unconditional giving love, we see demonstrated by our mothers. But it was perfected in our Heavenly Father. And it was demonstrated in the giving of His only Son. A gift. We didn't earn it. We're incapable of earning it. It was a gift. Perfected love is God's gift to us. Second thing that we need to talk about in terms of perfected love is the fact that it overcomes fear. And there's much to say about that. But let me give you an example about God's love. God's love, 45 times, if you look at the first book of John, 1 John, and we've read a little bit from it, But it's only, look in your Bible. How many pages is 1 John? I've got 1, 2, 3, and a little bit. It's a very short book. It's a very short book. But in that, he tells us 45 times about the nature of his love. 45 times about the nature of God's love for us. In chapter 3, verse 1, he says, "See what love the Father has for us, that we should be called the children of God." We've already read in verse 7, it says, "God is of love, and God is love." In verse 10, it says that he first loved us and gave his Son as a sacrifice for our sins. Now, you think about all the benefits of creation, all that God gave us in creation. What is the most precious gift? I think it's right here. The most excellent gift of all is the fact that God is love and God loves us. I once knew a young man, and you may know him too. I once knew a young man who had a great and wonderful thought. But that thought was kept secret until one day he told a beautiful young girl, "I love you." Now, as noble as the thought was, it was concealed. It was kept secret. But it became a far more elevated thought once it took on flesh of spoken word. Now, God had a great thought. And in the fullness of time, he spoke that thought through Jesus to the entire world. He said, "I love you." And he said, "I am love. And I love you." Perfected love is a gift that God gives to us. Secondly, perfected love does overcome fear. Verse 17 and 18. "In this way, love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment, because in this world we are like him. There is no fear in love. But perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love." Now, here's the confidence that we have only for the day of judgment, but also for now. Not only for the day of judgment, but for now. Because everywhere we look, fear. Fear everywhere you look. Think about it. Think about the top news stories of this week. Were they of an affirming nature? Were they? This is the audience feedback part. Were they of an affirming nature? Most of them weren't, were they? We started out with, well, we're afraid that the banks are going to fail. Now we're afraid AIG is going to fail. Now we're afraid that the automakers are all going to fail. And when that got a little bit thin and wore a little bit old, now we got what? We got the swine flu, where everybody's afraid of the pandemic that's going to wipe us out like helpless children. We're afraid. Well, then that became politically incorrect, so now it's what? H1N1? Where's Russell Talamini? It's some other name. And most people don't even know that that's two different things yet. But there's another flu that's coming along. Well, no, it's not. It's the same flu, but we're all scared to death. Well, now they've decided, well, that's really not as bad as we thought it was going to be. So I'm just really excited about what's going to be the new story this week that's going to scare us to death. You know, there's an interesting thing about fear. And in this passage, it says there's no fear in love. There's no fear. But there is a question that looms out there, and that has to do with death. And it's probably not the most popular thing to talk about. It's not pleasant to discuss death. But I think we need to, because a lot of people are afraid of death. And for a believer, when I say death, what pops into your mind? What kind of image pops into your mind? Is it something that's a pleasant thing? Is it something that's joyful? Is it something that's kind of gloom and doom? Some sort of foreboding, dark, gloomy thing? Or is it something that's pleasant? You see, faith can make a difference. And it can make a difference on this subject. Think about years ago, before any of us were born, the ancient cartographers used to map out the world. Now, based on the expeditions that they went on, they would get feedback. You know, and they would say, okay, this continent kind of is right here, and this continent is kind of right here, and we know that there's an island down here. We don't know how big it is, but we'll draw it. And they drew all this stuff out. Well, what do you think they drew where they didn't know what was there? Yeah. Dragons, sea monsters. Have you ever seen some of those maps? They're pretty scary looking. Because the unknown must be scary. The unknown must instill fear in them. But you see, for a Christian, it's not that way. The unknown, death as the unknown, the here and now, the day of judgment, that's the unknown. Does it have to be a fearful thing? John says no. There's no fear in love. Go back and read John chapter 14. Jesus said, I've gone to prepare a place for you. And as I go and prepare a place for you, I'm going to come back so that you can be where I'm going to be. Where's the fear in that? There's no fear. Perfected love overcomes fear. Thirdly, perfected love builds community. Look at verse 21. And he has given us this command, whoever loves God must also love his brother. Now, if you love God, you're going to love one another. That's what the passage says. You know, and that's the basic image of the Christian home. You think about Mother's Day, and you think about the perfected love that we think sometimes that our mothers exhibit toward us. And we think about perfected love as it relates to the church. And how does that all fit together? Well, you go all the way back to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2, and God takes Adam and Eve, and he kind of brings them together here. And it looks and sounds a lot like a modern wedding because we quote this passage in weddings sometimes. It says in Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, for this cause you shall leave parents and cleave to one another, and the two shall become one. Now, these were two different people that were brought together into a shared relationship. To go back to my Princess Bride quote, he starts out, marriage. Marriage is what brings us together today. It brings us together. It brings us together. It builds community. And in the same way today, when we enter marriage relationships, we bring in family, don't we? and all the baggage sometimes from family, all the lovely stories that come with that. And we bring all of that into a marriage relationship, and we're called to move toward a healthy sense of mutual respect and profound appreciation for one another. Scripture says, becoming one. Becoming one. Now, that doesn't happen in one night or one day or because the minister says you're now one flesh. It takes time. It may take years. And that kind of oneness doesn't mean that one person is completely absorbed into another. That's not what it means. It means that the two find commonality in the bond of love that holds them together. Under the commitment that they've made before God. That's what it is. It's a blessed arrangement, as clergy would say. The dream within a dream. And for children that experience that kind of modeling in a home environment where a mother and a father understand that the marriage relationship is and should be just a blessed arrangement. A dream within a dream. Perfected love in a home environment. That's what God intends for the Christian marriage, and that's what God intends for the Christian church. Why else would he call the church the bride of Christ? You see, we are community before we are anything else. And if we're not community, we really can't be anything else. It all begins here. John, in the gospel that bears his name, records the prayer of Jesus. If you go back to John chapter 17, Jesus prays a prayer for the development for this sense of community among followers. He says this, Father, make them one, even as you and I are one. But notice the reason. Not so that we can all get along, although that's a good reason. That wasn't his reason. The purpose is even higher. Father, make them one, even as you and I are one, that the world may believe. Our sense of community may be our finest evangelism. Our sense of community, how we treat each other, how we love one another, may be our finest evangelism. You see, perhaps emblazoned on our lives should be this motto, what happens to you matters to me. That's perfected love. Love God because He first loved us. Love one another because God is love. I don't know if you know this perfect Lamb, this spotless Lamb of God, but on this day, we want to give you an opportunity to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Do you know the kind of love that we've talked about this morning? And if you do not, I'll be here and we'll be singing in just a moment. We want to give you an opportunity to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you're here and perhaps you need to recommit your life to Christ and the principles that He taught, we want to give you an opportunity. You can certainly do that. Pray where you are, or you can come and the altar will be open here. You can come and pray here. And if you're here and you would like to be a part of College Park as a member, I'll be glad to share with you how we receive members. There's many ways we receive members. I'll be glad to share that with you. But whatever your decision is, we want to invite you to make that as we stand and sing together now. Interns, let's pray together. Dear Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the chance to be together. We thank you for the heritage of our families. Father, we thank you for godly mothers who show us love, show us unconditional love. And Father, we thank you for the fact that their love comes from you. And that's how you teach us. Father, we pray now that as we go, that we would go as your children who demonstrate love for you and for one another. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. You can be seated for just a moment. I want to ask, is Brittany here? Brittany, come on down. And Sydney. This is the launch date for our two summer ministry interns. Brittany is going to be working with our youth this year during the summertime, so she requires much prayer. Sydney is going to be working with our children. She also requires much prayer this summer. And so as we begin a new summer, I want to challenge you to put their names at the top of your prayer list. I want you to encourage them. I want you to offer feedback as you think it's appropriate to them, because that's how they learn as well. And most of all, I want you to be there to support them physically as well as emotionally and spiritually. That's how they grow. That's how they learn. And we're excited about the summer that's going to take place. And we know you ladies are going to do a wonderful job. And I want to invite all of the children, if you are a child, preschool through grade 6, if you would please come down here. I know that we're getting dangerous here, but I want you to come down here. Step right over there, stand right there. I want you to come gather around Sydney. If you are a youth, grade 7 through 12, I want you to come down here and gather around Brittany. Come on down. We will wait. Even those who are giving out gifts, you can come for just a moment. The youth are a bit more reluctant. They were just higher up, I guess. Okay, here's what I want you to do. I want you to turn around and face Sydney. I want you all to turn around. Come around this way. Come around. It don't matter if you block everybody's view. It's okay. Come around, and I want you to reach out and touch her. If you can't touch her, place the hand on the person in front of you. There you go. Reach out and touch her, and I want to invite you to stand. And I want you to join hands with each other and across the aisles, if you would, please. With each other and across the aisles, if that's physically possible. As a church, we are one. We are one in our purpose, a commonality of purpose and love. And so as these young ladies begin a ministry here this summer, we are one, and we should pray as one. Let's pray together. Most gracious God, you give us your love that we share to other people. And Father, as you see fit, you raise up those who will give extra of themselves, that will respond to the call to ministry in a special way. And Father, we have two young ladies this morning who are giving of themselves to a special ministry that will take place this summer. Father, we pray that you would protect them, that you would love them, that you would encourage them, that you would give them your wisdom, that you would give them your peace. Father, we pray that as your people, we would love and encourage them, even on days when they mess up, even on days when they do exceptionally well, we would always be there to love and to encourage. Father, we pray that as we begin this time together, Father, that you would allow us to see your vision for the future of children's ministry and youth ministry and family ministry here at College Park, and that we would embrace it together. As your people, we ask for your blessing For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. I want to invite you to a word to Brittany and to Sydney.
This concludes this week's podcast of our worship service. Thank you for joining us. We would love to hear from our listeners. Please send our pastor an email at raymond@collegeparkbaptist.org. That's raymon@collegeparkbaptist.org. Or call us at 1-336-768-5870. May the peace of the Lord be with you in the coming week.